Welcome to the Rolling Hills Sermon Podcast. The Rolling Hills Sermon Podcast aims to bring the sermon from our Sunday morning service to you each and every week. Whether you're a longtime follower of Christ or just beginning to explore who Jesus is, we invite you to join us as we dive deep into God's Word and what He has to teach us today. So listen in as we jump into what God has in store.
Well, I'm going to try to preach a sermon after just baptizing my daughter like 5 minutes ago. So if there's a box of Kleenexes right there, if someone just would throw them to me later if I need them. So if I'm just like doing this, that means throw me the Kleenexes, okay? I want you guys to complete the following phrase for me if you know it. And I think you will, but shout it out if you know it. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words
never.
Okay, let's try that one more time. You did pretty good. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words? Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. What a dumb phrase. Have you ever heard anything that is more idiotic than that phrase? I can't think of one. Sticks can hurt me. Stones can hurt me, but words, oh no, those can't hurt me. I don't know why this phrase has remained popular over the past two centuries, but it's quite possibly one of the craziest things that I have ever heard, because inherent in this little quotation is words don't have any power, that words are meaningless. This statement says you can just shrug off anything negative that's said about you because words are nothingness. When in reality, nothing could be further from the truth. Words are not powerless. Rather, words create worlds. Words are what builds people up. And words are those things that tear other people down. Words affect the trajectory of our lives. Words instill hope and confidence in us, but words can also stunt you, and words can debilitate you. And for some of you, words have created baggage in your life, or maybe words have created a narrative in your mind to where you believe something to be true about you that is not true about you, but because someone said it, it's true. And for others, including me, words show love, and you receive love and give love that way. Offering a word of encouragement is one of the quickest and most effective ways to make a person feel valued or loved. So because of all of this, I think it would suffice to say words matter. And there's something really spiritual about the power of our words. And this is certainly true in Scripture and certainly verifiable in Scripture that our words matter. Did you know that the power of words is not really a highly contested theological issue? This is not a sermon that a lot of people are going to take offense to. Most people aren't going to object. Yeah, preach a sermon about the power of words. It's not necessarily a divisive topic, but just because it's not divisive doesn't mean that it's not something we don't need to hear. Because we struggle with this. I mean, go do a quick Google search on the power of words and what does the Bible say about my words mattering, and I promise you it's going to yield a lot of hits. But it tends to be a topic that we just kind of explain away. Or we kind of say, oh, it doesn't really matter that much. We're in the third week in this series called Be Holy, Confronting Sin, and we're talking about some of these sins in our life that we need to confront that have just kind of unfortunately become perfectly acceptable and perfectly normalized. And I think unwholesome words is one of those things. We kind of just normalize it, when in reality, the Bible has a lot to say about it. When you and I choose to engage in unwholesome talk and act as if it's okay, I hope and pray that you would realize there's something in my life that needs to be confronted because of that. Now, there's lots of ways that unwholesome talk can manifest itself in our lives. Maybe it's those moments where I pass on information very easily without any consideration if it's actually true. Or how about those moments where I type things online that I would never say to someone in person? Or I put something out there that I would never have the courage to actually say in public? Or I can go say something to someone's face and literally go behind their back and do something else. I can lie to cover for myself. I can exaggerate in situations to make them seem a little more serious than they really were. Sometimes in church circles, we can gossip and call it a prayer request. You know, we're like, oh, she just needs to know about what's going on. And, you know, we haven't prayed about it yet, but I've shared it with 45 people because we need to know, or I can talk about you behind your back, or I can tell you exactly what you want to hear, even if it's not true. Or in some cases, I can tear other people down because of my own insecurities. And there's a number of other things that we could kind of put under this category of unwholesome talk. But these unholy words, these unwholesome moments that we choose with our words can be a real problem. And as we've evidenced a couple times in this series already, sometimes these actions just become normal. And we accept them, and we don't think that there's another way, when in reality, God is saying, no, I want you to live a life of holiness, and part of living a life of holiness, the most significant part of living a life of holiness, is confronting these things that we fall prey to and saying, I want to do otherwise. So please know how grateful I am that you are here with us today. And if you haven't been encouraged yet today, let me encourage you. It's not by accident that you're here. And when a room of people assembles together, we come together from lots of different places and lots of different seasons. In fact, some of you are probably here today and you do feel a little bit beaten down, or you do feel a little bit downtrodden. And some of you may be having the best year of your life, or maybe you're somewhere in the middle of that. But I believe that God has a word for us from his word about the power of our words and how that affects us and how that affects others. And so I want to ask you to pray with me for God to show you and to show me what he wants to show us today through his word, and that we would have the courage to respond to that. So will you join me in prayer? Lord, thank you for this another day of life. And thank you, Father, for what you've done already today and what you're going to continue to do. As we just simply open ourselves up to you, I pray that we would realize this morning the power of our words and the power of wholesome talk and what it accomplishes in our relationships and what it will accomplish in the church and how we will be changed in that process. I thank you for every person who's here. It is not by accident that a single person in this room is here. And so I pray that you would show them what you want to show them today through your word and through the power of the Holy Spirit, that if there's anything that we need to be convicted of, that you would have free reign to do that. If there's something that needs to change, I pray that we would have the courage to change. Or if there's something that we really need to fan into flame, that you would give us the vision that we need to do that as well. So Lord, thank you again for who you are and for meeting us here today. And it's in the powerful name of Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen. Our key text today comes from the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, and you're going to see this word, these words appear on the screen. They're printed there for you on your worship guides as well, but Paul is writing this to the first century church in Ephesus, and evidently it was a problem then, and it continues to be a problem now, the power of our words. Listen to what he says. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Paul says, let nothing unwholesome come out of your mouth. So what are the examples of all the unwholesome things that we could say? Well, I've already listed a number of them at the top of the sermon. And just before you think I'm going to say a lot of words that would make this sermon go viral that is filled with unwholesome words, I'm not going to do that today. But those are included. But we're talking about the power of words. Precisely, though, we're talking about things like negativity. We're talking about things like unhealthy criticism. We're talking about backbiting. We're talking about things like verbal abuse. We're talking about taking the Lord's name in vain. We're talking about idle talk. We're talking about when we engage in coarse joking, a number of things that could fall under this category of unwholesome talk. But Paul says, instead of that kind of speech, what if our words were more reflective of, I want to share my words to build other people up, to point other people to Jesus. I want to share words that are helpful and according to meeting the needs in their life, that my words should be defined by what encourages others and what truly brings out the best in others and what points others to Jesus and what spurs others on to good works. It's really safe to say, and maybe you want to write this down on your worship guide today, it's really safe to say, words are weighty. Words carry a lot of weight. If you don't hear anything else that I say today, take that home with you. Words are weighty. So much weight. Did you know on average, you speak about 16,000 words a day? And some of you are like, they speak a lot more than that. And some of you are like, I wish they would talk 8,000 words. But on average, 16,000 words a day. If you were to print that out, that's 64 pages of words a day. The average book has about 250 to 300 pages. So on a good week, you're writing a novel. Every week of your life, you're just producing content, producing books, producing novels of words. So these words carry weight, and they matter significantly. Jesus gave us some incredible instruction on the power of words in Matthew chapter 12. These are the words of Jesus. Listen to what he says. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. But I tell you that everyone will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every empty word they have spoken. Jesus himself is saying our words carry a lot of significance. And he says, and all of those words come from the heart. Jesus particularly said that a good man will speak good words and that those good words come from the overflow of a good heart. And then he said the evil man will share evil or unwholesome words, and those will come from an evil part in his heart. And so in essence, what Jesus is saying here is if you don't like the words that you are speaking, let Jesus do the convicting this morning to determine if there's something going on in the inside that needs to be attended to. Because truly, from the overflow of our hearts, our mouths speak. That's all over Proverbs, and that's, of course, over the teachings of Jesus. And it's why this matters so significantly. Jesus says, I want your words to be reflective of a heart that's changed by me. And when your heart is changed by me, you can't help but speak words that are wholesome and uplifting and encouraging and edifying. Now, Jesus also gave us another good reason to keep our words wholesome. Because he says, on that day of judgment, you are going to stand before God and give an account for every empty word that you spoke. So that should convict you as well. That should kind of help whip us in shape a little bit to say that there will be a day when I have to give an account for every idle word or every empty word that I have spoken. And what Jesus is saying there is he's saying, there's just a lot of words that we say that profit no one, that are completely empty, that are completely idle. And he's saying, I want you to move away from those things because those are not helpful at all. And the fact that I have to give an account for my words is a wake-up call. My words matter significantly to God, and my words then should matter to me, and of course are going to matter to those who hear them. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 18, verse 21, the writer of Proverbs says about our words, the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. The tongue has the power of life and death. And if you're wondering, is this verse like a figure of speech? Is this hyperbole? It's not. This is not the writer of Proverbs saying, yeah, I just want you to kind of get your life in order. No, this is the legitimately truth. This is biblical truth from God. The Bible says that my tongue and my ability to communicate has the power to either speak life or to speak death. That life or death power rests in my communication and what I say and how I say it. So what should that lead us to? It should lead us to this truth that words have more power than most people realize. Words have more power than most people realize. Some of you have had words spoken to you that have shaped the trajectory of your life in a very negative way. And I'm aware of that. Some of you were told at some point in your life that you were not valuable. And some of you were told at some point in your life, you do not measure up. Maybe you had parents or grandparents or someone who raised you who told you you are never good enough, and they had a bar that was set so high and you never felt like you were winning. And you never felt like you were good enough. But you know, it's not just the words that were said to us as well. It's also the words that weren't said to us. Some of you were never told, I love you, by your parents. You never heard those words uttered in your house, and you're carrying that baggage with you today. As a pastor, I sit across the table from people, and I've sat across the table from more people than I can count who have communicated to me in some form or fashion that they are carrying so much baggage because of things that were said to them, but also things that weren't said to them. And if that's your story this morning, I want to speak directly to you, and I hope that you know. And if you're hearing it for the first time today, I pray that it will be earth-shattering news to you. I hope that you know that Jesus wants you to realize that you do not have to be defined by what others have said about you. You do not have to be defined by what other people have said you have mistaken. You do not have to be defined by how other people have spoken to or not spoken to you. And if you're hearing this for the first time, know that Jesus says, I love you, and this is how much I love you. I love you so much that there's nothing that I would not do to show you that love, including going to a cross, giving my life so that you could have life and freedom and peace and joy and salvation and eternal security. Jesus says, that's how much I love you. And if you weren't told that by the people in your life, then I hope and pray that through the power of Jesus Christ, and this won't be an overnight healing process, but through the power of Jesus Christ, that you would say, you know what, I'm going to believe what God says about me and not what the world says about me. Because when you believe what God says about you, that's when you begin to realize you are loved and that he died for you. And then there's others of you that have had the courage to take steps of faith in your life or to trust God because there were words that were spoken over you that instilled confidence in you and that truly brought out the best in you and allowed you to trust God and allowed you to place your faith in God. I'm so thankful for my parents who are here with me today and for mentors in my life who have spurred me on to good works. I'm thankful for the people in my life who saw something in me maybe that I didn't even see in myself. And do you know, if you have kids in your home or grandkids or you're a teacher or an aunt or an uncle, wherever you might be, if you have any connection to the next generation, know that there is nothing more valuable to tell a child or a teenager or a young adult that God loves you and that I love you and that I see something in you and that I want to help you understand God's plan for your life. There is nothing more valuable. It will be more valuable than anything else that you can place in front of them. With this next generation, it's so important for us to help them understand that they are going to make mistakes, but they're not defined by their mistakes. It's helpful for you to help your kids understand that there's nothing they could ever do that would make you stop loving them. And there's nothing that you would ever withhold from them because you love them and because you want to point them to the Father. I'm thankful for mentors in my life who spurred me on and thankful for family who spurred me on, even into ministry. I think about the people in my life that maybe saw a spark in me that I didn't even know was there. And I'm thankful that at some point they said, you know, let's pour a little bit of gasoline on that and let's see what happens. You can be a part of that story as well. There are people in your life right now that your words are going to help them understand that God is stirring something in their life, and you just pour a little bit of gasoline on that and see what happens. And God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, begins to work and move in ways that can only be described by him. But see, it's not just our physical words that matter, and it's not just the tone with which we say them that matters. Even more significantly than all of that, it's the way that we choose to communicate faith that matters. Because see, our words are significant parts of the faith stories of other people, because faith comes through hearing. Faith comes through hearing. Did you know that the most beneficial thing that you can do with your words is to use your words to point people to Jesus? To create relationships where people know how much Jesus is important to you and how important you want him to be to them. See, faith comes through hearing. In Romans 10:17, we're told that consequently, faith comes from hearing the message. And the message is heard through the word about Christ. Faith comes through hearing. And hearing comes through the message, and it's heard through the words being shared. Did you know that you and I play a significant role in the spiritual lives of other people? God is the primary role. We're not primary. God is primary. God is drawing people to himself through the power of the Holy Spirit. But do you know who God gave the commission to go and share the good news of the gospel? You. me. All of us, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you have been given the commission to go share the good news, to communicate those words of faith. God does the drawing, and you and I get to do the sharing. And all of a sudden, you begin to realize there's some weightiness to this. There's some weightiness to my words and how I choose to communicate. You and I get to share the message of the gospel. We are given that commission to go into a lost and dying world and help them to understand that God loved them so much that he sent his one and only son to give them life. And we celebrated it really significantly just a few weeks ago with Easter, but Jesus took the cross. He was removed from that cross and placed in a tomb, and the world thought the story was over. But he rose from that tomb to show us that he can truly conquer anything in our lives, all of the sin that we struggle with, all of the shortcomings that we have. He shows us that he is our all in all, and that we can be made right and have eternal security because of a relationship with Jesus Christ. And see, it's your words that help spur people on into their faith journeys. I hope and pray that in your homes, I hope and pray that in your marriages, I hope and pray that in your friendships, that you will say, you know what, I want to tell other people about Jesus, and that that would be the realization of the absolute best usage of your words. We've had some incredible celebrations today. We've had two kids in both of our services today that made a profession of faith to follow Jesus, and we celebrated that public declaration of that with baptism. At our 9 o'clock service today, we had a family who came and dedicated their child as a beautiful part of a family dedication celebration. And we celebrate those incredible milestones in the life of our families. And we're celebrating as the Hale family today. That significant milestone in the life of our family. And the Montgomery family with Isla is celebrating that significant milestone in her life today. But when we see those milestones, do you know what we're not only celebrating? We're not only celebrating the decision that that child is making to follow Jesus, but we're celebrating every person in their life who has invested in them. We're celebrating every teacher on the other side of that hallway. We're celebrating every grandparent and aunt and uncle and cousin who prays. We're celebrating those faith discussions. We're celebrating those moments. And for all of us who are followers of Jesus Christ, there is a list of people in your life right now that you should be grateful to that have shared the good news of Jesus with you. And if it's been a while since you sent them a text and just simply said thank you, I would encourage you to do that. For you, maybe it was a Sunday school teacher at your little country church in Georgia, or maybe it was a grandparent, or maybe it was a parent or a neighbor. Your journey has had significant players who chose to lean into using their words for really holy purposes. And isn't it incredible to know that you and I can lean in and begin using our words for even holier purposes in the lives of the other people that God has brought into our midst? But instead of using holy words and God-honoring words, sometimes we just choose to go the other way. And we choose to say, my life's going to be a little bit more defined by unwholesome words than it is holy words. And I can't unpack every unwholesome word that we could ever say or every negative thing that we could ever come up with, but I do want to camp out particularly on something for just a moment because I think it's a pretty big issue that a lot of us deal with. And it's this whole concept of gossip. Gossip and how we pass on information and why that's detrimental. Here's a cautionary tale for you about gossip. You know, edifying words bring life to other people, don't they? I mean, edifying words bring life to other people. What does gossip do? Gossip deteriorates relationships. Gossip deteriorates relationships. Proverbs 26:22 says, the words of a gossip are like choice morsels. They go down to the inmost parts. The writer of Proverbs says, gossip goes to the innards of a person. It goes all the way down, and it affects them deeply on the inside. Gossip goes down to my innermost parts. My personal definition of gossip is the transfer of information in a non-biblical way. The transfer of information in a non-biblical way. Did you know that there's actually a biblical mandate as to how we are to handle situations? And are we are to handle issues? Let's just say, for example, that you have a problem with Brian. Did you know that the Bible tells you that if you have a problem with Brian, you can go talk to Brian about it, or you can go talk to Brenda about it? Do you know who the Bible says to go to? Not Brenda. The Bible says you got a problem with Carl, go to Carl. But what do we tend to do? Because it's easier, we tend to go to Katie. And we say, Katie, do you know what's going on with Carl? Can we pray together about that? And let me tell you real quick everything he has done and everything he hasn't done. It's why we chose to address this topic in this sermon, because it's kind of become acceptable. But just because it's acceptable or just because it's normalized doesn't make it right. Gossip goes against what it is that the Lord wants us to do. Gossip loops in people that don't need to be looped in. It causes a lot of unnecessary drama. It erodes relational equity. In fact, if you have a relationship that you want to ruin right now, just start gossiping in it. Seriously. If you have a relationship right now that you're like, you know what, I just want to ruin this. I'm just ready to watch this thing burn. Make gossip a significant part of that relationship, and it will begin to erode. Now, this is just a word of wisdom for you. But it's always been my experience that if someone comes to you and they want to gossip with you about someone else, do you know what you should always assume? You should always assume that they're gossiping about you to somebody else as well. Because it's a cycle. It's this vicious cycle. How about instead of engaging it, you say, you know what? I don't think we should be talking about this. And clearly you have a problem with Brian. So go to Brian and address it with him so it deteriorates. But the adverse of that, the inverse of that is encouragement. What does encouragement do? Encouragement doesn't deteriorate relationship. Encouragement builds people up. It brings out the best in people. Encouragement lifts people up when they are feeling down. Encouragement truly shows people a better path moving forward. It helps others make better decisions. Did you know that an encouraging word spoken at the right time is powerful, isn't it? An encouraging word at the right time is powerful. The book of Proverbs actually says that the right word at the right time is like a bowl of golden apples and a silver bowl. It's valuable, it's refreshing, it's meaningful. But did you know that the hearer is not the only one who is changed in the process? Because if I encourage you or you encourage me, we're obviously changed in that process. But here's a core truth about encouragement, and we forget this. Encouragement actually serves both parties. Encouragement and edifying words actually serve both parties. How do we know this to be true? Well, look at what Proverbs 11:25 says. A generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. What's the writer of Proverbs saying here? The writer of Proverbs is saying, when you make the intentional effort to build up other people and to refresh other people, refreshment gets heaped back on you. When you choose to refresh others, you may think that they are going to be the only ones that are going to be changed in the process, when in reality, that refreshment gets heaped back on you. And you are also changed. I think one of the best spiritual practices that we can engage in this area of growing in wholesome words is saying, in those moments in my life, when I'm worried, when I'm stressed, when I'm anxious, when I'm beaten down, when I feel like I can't go on, when I don't know if the weight of this anxiety can be something that I can work through, in those moments of feeling overwhelmed, how about starting to inject a little bit of, I don't want to think about myself in this moment, but I want to think about other people. And when you begin praying for other people, and you begin lifting up other people, something begins to happen on the inside of you. And that refreshment comes. I don't know how it works. I don't know practically how it works. I don't know why it works, besides it's biblical. And the Bible says when we refresh others, we will in turn be refreshed. If we choose to kind of be critical or negative all the time, or naysaying people who tend to just kind of have our words just marked by unwholesomeness, there's probably few instances in our life where we're actually encouraging other people. And because of that, that refreshment has become somewhat elusive to us. But it can be found, and it can happen, and it can be heaped up on us when we choose to say, I want to live according to the word of God. See, your words have so much life, and all of this matters, all of this matters, because the right word at the right time can change a life. That's why it matters. The right word at the right time can truly change a life. If you don't believe me, look at what Proverbs 16:24 says. Gracious words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. Gracious words, an encouragement word spoken at the right time, according to the Bible, is sweet to the soul and truly brings healing to the bones. Your words could truly save a life. If you believe that your words are a matter of life and death, as the writer of Proverbs tells us, then your words could truly accomplish more than you could ever ask or imagine. Some of you may have a friend right now that's going through a difficult time, and they are saying some things to you that are yellow flags, or they're saying some things to you that are red flags. Instead of ignoring that, how about calling that person and saying, can we talk about what you're going through? Can we lean into some of those things that you're dealing with right now? Checking in on people who make comments that would kind of make you wonder, I wonder what's going on the inside of them. When a friend says something that's concerning to you, believe the word of God that says there's life and death in the power of words, and I want to lean in to those situations. I pray that you would not make the people in your life wonder how you feel about them, but that the people in your life would know how valuable you are to them. In fact, maybe you want to reach out today to some of those people and just simply tell them, I appreciate you so much. Or maybe you've kind of been living in a way where all of your relationships, you've just kind of let I love you be implied. And maybe you're thinking, you know what, the people in my home know that I love them. I never say it. But they know it. Don't let that be implied. Let that be stated. Let that be heard time and time again. And from a very practical perspective, I want to close with just a few things that maybe will hopefully help all of us as we go about our day today to say, I want the power of my words to be marked by holiness. And I want to confront some of this unwholesomeness when it comes to the power of my words. And I want to choose a different path. One of the first things that I would encourage you to do is to become a person who just prays on the spot for people. Prayer requests come your way all the time, don't they? Or you hear someone say something, can you pray for me about that? Or can you pray for me about that? How about instead of just logging that away, how about saying, can we pray for that right now? And what does that do? That tells that person that your request in that moment is also very important to me. So much so, we're going to stop what we're doing right now, and we're going to take that to the Lord. Instead of just logging that away, saying, let's pray about that right now. Another thing that I think that we can do to grow practically in this area is to be people who are slow to speak, quick to listen, people who are very quick to listen, but slow to speak. We're instructed in this in the book of James, the power of this, to be people who ask questions, to be people who, when you're talking to someone, that you treat them like they're the most important person in the moment because they are the most important person in the moment because you're in a conversation with them. Sometimes if I'm working with a couple who's having communication issues, I'll say, how is our listening going? And they'll say, we're listening great. And I'll say, are you listening with your ears? And they'll say, yes. And I'll say, are you listening with your eyes? Never. I'm like, you got to listen with your eyes. You got to listen with your ears. When people are talking to you, being engaged with them. And then lastly, when someone comes to mind, reach out. It's been my experience that when the Holy Spirit brings someone to your mind, they have been brought to your mind for a reason. And so shoot them a quick text. Give them a call. And just say, hey, you came to my mind. I was thinking about you today. And in all of these principles, it's actually more challenging to have God-honoring words than it is unwholesome words. Why is that more challenging? Because in life, it's always easier to choose sin over holiness. Always. Sin is always easier than holiness. Sin is always more attractive than holiness. Sin seems like it gets done what I need to get done a lot quicker than holiness. But just because it's easier doesn't make it right. And just because it's easier certainly doesn't make it better. So I hope and pray that you realize today that your words carry weight and that sticks can hurt me and stones can hurt me, but dare I say, words can probably hurt me even more. And so when you realize this, I hope and pray that you'll go and in the process say, you know what, I'm going to be changed because of the wholesome talk that I lead into, but also those in my life are going to be changed. And so I hope and pray that all of us will go from this place today and that we will seek to live it out, confronting these sins, choosing holiness, because it matters deeply. Your words have power. Go use them to point people to Jesus today.
Thank you for listening to the Rolling Hills Sermon Podcast. Be sure to share this episode with any friends and family who may benefit from it. And make sure you subscribe to be notified so you never miss a sermon. If you want to learn more about Rolling Hills, download Church Center, our Rolling Hills app. Follow us on social media or visit our website at rollinghills.church. The Rolling Hills Sermon Podcast is a part of the Rolling Hills Podcast Network, available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Google Podcasts. Thanks for tuning in.